Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, 347-637-3942. Welcome to the American Vision Show. Again, 347-637-3942. Talk to our guest tonight, simulcasting on Patriot Nation Radio. Patriot Nation Radio. Glad to be a part of this group. Great people, great shows, and great guests. The most important thing is the great guests. So before we get to that, I'm going to go over to, let's see, dashboard. So the dashboard is going to show me a lot of things. First of all, shout out to our fans. This is amazing. People that follow us, this is awesome. So Chrissy HH, Stephen Carr 30, Chris Cardell 2029, if you're listening right now, PC1. We also have some other Blog Talk radio stations that follow us. U.S. National Politics is one of them. Patriots Radio. That's pretty close to ours, Patriot Nation. Anyway, welcome to our show tonight. We have a guest, a special guest tonight, Mr. Eldon Solomon. Mr. Solomon, welcome to the program. Tell us about yourself. Right. Oh, wow. Oh, I know you were down there recently. I love Naples. Naples is fabulous. I flew into, I took Allegiant down. I don't know how you got there, but it was, yes, right to the little tiny, little hangar airport. So, Punta Gorda. Yeah, I love it. So easy. They are. Yeah. Nonstop. So, okay. I need to know. First of all, I want to tell everybody, I want to tell you, thank you for your service to the veterans. It means a lot. They don't always get the help they deserve, or sometimes they're abandoned. I want to thank you for your service to us. Appreciate it. Right. Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. And, you know, because of your actions, you're helping so many people. And, I mean, that's very commendable. And, like I said, thank you for your service. And, you know, it's hard to help yourself. It's hard for veterans to do that. I mean, we can help advocacies and everything. But you're going out of your way, so much appreciated. So let's talk about your program. So you have temporary housing. Tell us what these facilities are like and how does one get into them? Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. So the third part, so how do you, well, first of all, how do you identify the homeless, like in your community, veterans? Do you have records or how is it? Okay. Great. Yeah, I see that, and that's fantastic. And you know, it's hard. You know, for some people, it's really hard to look for help, to admit they need the help. But even the ones that are not homeless, you know, they don't. I mean, they try to live with you know, scars of war, and try to cope on their own, and it's not a good thing. So I totally understand that. I know people like that. They can't get over stuff that they saw. So even to this day, I have friends. Years later, after they got out, Marines, and, you know, they're like having, they're struggling with the things that they saw years later that they did, people that they killed or in combat with, friends that died. That to me, that's, I mean, it's always there. It never leaves. And that's a psychological thing. So do you offer anything like that? I'm sure the VA does. You're an advocate for that, I'm guessing. Yeah, right. Yeah. 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 Wow. Yeah. Fantastic. The reality, and so, you know, the veterans are very, they're probably the most people who deal with reality, you know, when everything gets real in a war zone, then, yes. Can you hear me? Okay. When things get, veterans are used to reality and they act quickly. Like any veteran, everybody in the military knows how to do CPR and take care of somebody who's got like, has a seizure or whatever. Everybody knows first aid, what to do when somebody has an arm or whatever, limb. They know that stuff. That's when you get trained. But they don't know how to put everything else together, and that's where you come in. And so it's amazing. Nobody trains them. Nobody gets them ready to get out or gives them that advice. They're just on their own. I've had other advocates on the program where There's no way, or they have the same kind of thing in New York City. There's no way they know how to take care of themselves, because once you're out, you're out. If you don't have skills, you don't have other stuff, then they do become homeless. So this is very important that we take care of our veterans, and it's the community. The community is stronger than the machine in this case. Wow. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, I understand. So I do know, and I don't see this dynamic where when veterans identify with other veterans, is that I experienced that myself. Where I'm working, you know, we can talk freely, and it's kind of like, yeah, we have a lot in common, different things, even if you're a different service. Do you see that? Does that help those guys when they're isolated? Yes. Right. So one unique thing about working around or living around Wright Patterson is we see a lot of veterans. It's a big, giant veteran community. I'm assuming that things are probably better here with the programs they have, but I don't know for sure. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah. Right. Yes. I totally agree. And I work on the base now, or I've been for a while. And I think we have our own support system, a lot of it, you know, while we're still working. But my question for you is this, and this is kind of unique. This just came in my head. I never prepare questions for anything. So, okay, the ones who get out and are retired, what's the difference between the ones who serve 4 or 6 years and get out and they don't have anything? Is that a factor? Okay. I think I was kind of getting at the fact, I guess it doesn't matter, like you say, whether they've got a retirement or not. So, because I figured that would be a little easier to cope and to get along if you did have one. But, I mean, you still have the same kind of mindset. I think that's the whole point right there. I guess it doesn't matter because I've seen people with both situations. So that's interesting. So I have, what about age doesn't matter or does it? Or are there any things that, who's the worst demographics, the hardest people to help, or are there? Are they all the same? Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. These numbers are awesome. This is blowing my mind what you're talking about, and I can see that psychologically. Oh no, you're good. You're good. Oh wow. No. Wow. Wow, that's, yeah, sad. Wow. Wow. So, yeah, I was going to ask you that question too. So, like the rural areas. So, okay, I'm going to say this, and I know you're probably from a rural area. So, this is the case. The younger or the people, the kids from the rural areas, at least for aircraft maintenance, are the best to get. Okay? They work hard. And it's kind of, I'm comparing this to like the city kids and everything. They work harder. They're more loyal and they're faithful, a lot more faithful, and they mean what they say, and they've got skills from, working on farm equipment. This is classic. I saw it so many years. So give me the stats again for that, for rural versus urban. Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah, it makes sense. Interesting, interesting. No. So speaking of that, so I'm going to classify this Vietnam vets versus Gulf War versus peacetime. Is there any difference? Did you notice anything? Are they just veterans? You probably don't get that deep into that with them. Yeah, right. Right, yes. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, right. Right. Oh, man. Oh, wow. I could understand. I had a Vietnam vet on my program once. And they talked about, my questions were, what was it like coming home? So it's a completely different situation from WW2. And it was only like, what, 10, 15 years later? No, and so then you met Wayne Smith down in Naples. Yes. Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, I got to have Wayne on the program. But yeah, he did, he's like 90-some missions. And then he got shot down, and then he was a prisoner of war, came back on the Hanoi Hilton, which is in the museum today, that aircraft. Yeah, those guys, and you know, the Air Force people have it easier. No, next question. So the pilots could go to war. Sure, yeah. Yes. 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 Right. Yeah. My uncles went to Vietnam. My dad went to Vietnam. You know, they really, I know there's a, that's a generation though from the 50s. A lot of those guys kept their feelings to themselves, and or whatever they didn't talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it. But I mean, they're proud to have been there, but they don't really talk. I didn't know my dad's air traffic controller. Like I said, the Air Force is the easiest thing to do as far as combat goes. But I'm sure you still have people that have issues. I'm very curious if that is the case. Air Force. Air Force. Okay. Right. Wow. Right. Oh, I'd never discount that. Is it, there are people that are like controllers, field controllers, and people are actually in the action. Very few, very few. So, and then we got pilots that get shot down and they get tortured. One of our commanders was tortured in Iraq. And he got out eventually, and his face is kind of messed up, and Colonel Roberts. So he was our commander at Springfield, Ohio. So, yeah, people do get in those situations. But in general, not much. We don't get the training that way. That is true. And the more they shrink the military, the more people have to go. Yes, right. Yes, right. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right, because the tempo of deployments before I got out was, and it's even worse now, it's more and more. And you're asking a lot. And so I used to volunteer for them, but for other deployments I wasn't on. But that was just me. But a lot of people, I mean, it's so demanding, and you know, you're timing people out, you know, with people only take so much. Like for me, for example, I get deployed. I'm with my unit. I'm sleeping with them, shower, eat, everything. There's a point where you have to get away from them. This is a mental thing, right? So. You can't work with them 12 hours a day and then go sleep with them 12 hours. And it just after a while. Now, it's better than, like, Army Marines. They're out in the field. The Air Force, mine's a little petty, I admit, but you got to get away. Yeah. Right, exactly. That is pressure, and yeah, I know. So I have a couple of friends that were killed in combat. Well, yeah, one in Iraq who's a pilot, fighter pilot, and they were running these guys so rough or extreme hours and everything. And finally, he didn't make it out. I mean, he got crashed his aircraft, but it was, and he had the warning signs that I can't do this. This is too much. So you know, they get pilot speed. So in the war zones, to keep them awake. And then another friend who joined the Army National Guard, he was in the Air National Guard, and he ended up hitting an IED in Iraq. And these are people that, you know, when it's somebody you know and you work with, it's completely different than, you know, some random person. So, I mean, it's a sad situation. So other people commit suicide even when they're in. That's a hard thing for the people that you know, you work with, or you know, the people take it personally. What could I have done? And they teach you suicide awareness. I don't know what you're, tell me about, do you see that? So, yeah. The journey home. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. We have to do better. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so you lose your dad, or you lose somebody in your family, could be a kid, and they're gone for a year or so. My dad was gone about that time. He went to Vietnam. So I was like, where's daddy? I didn't know where he was. I was just a little kid. But it takes a toll on the children, too, and you don't know if they're coming back or not, especially in those kind of environments. So there's a lot of stress. The mother or the wife at home it deserves an award because they go through a lot. And I've been gone a lot from home. My daughter, my oldest. So these are things that you can't control. Oops, there's one right here. So, you still here? Are you doing this? Can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Oh, hold on a second. Can you hear me now? Why is this doing this? Okay, here we go. We're going to go this way. All right, hold on a second. Okay, one second. Okay, all right. This is crazy. So we can't have two Kevins in here. Let's see what's going on here. So here's what happened. I was removed, or my internet completely went out at the house. So I was able to get on the phone, but this is really weird. Are we saying something we're not supposed to say? I don't know. So let's get back to where we were. That was the strangest thing. Let me get rid of this guy here. So, yes, right. I have never had this happen before. I've had other things happen where, let's get back to what we were talking about. I can't remember what it was. I'm like, I'm like going around in circles. Okay. So what were we talking about before this happened? Oh. Yes, I totally agree. You have the inside track. You know what's going on. A lot of veterans don't. And this is the education. So people that are getting out, people in the war, I think you'd be great. You probably do this already. Do you advocate for them? I should be part of the briefing for leaving, in my opinion, for getting out. Awesome. So, yeah. One more question for you. So suicide rate in the military is really high, even in the Air Force. Do you know about those stats? Do you look at those? Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, it's got to be damaging. Yes. That is pretty profound. I never even thought about that before. That makes sense. No. And you've seen them, you've heard them all, you've seen them, you know, you've seen so much. And it's some, most people don't know about this stuff. That's the thing, that's the point. So are you willing, if I can make some contact with Ray Patterson, would you be willing to speak or offer your services, not services, but your knowledge, your website and everything? Okay. I think that that's much needed. They're trying, even if it's for active duty people, I think it's a good thing. And people are getting out, things like that, because the suicide rate is a little too high, a lot high. Okay. Yes. You later on that, because I like some material and things like that. So I think this is something that we need. And your maybe our contacts, the military member. I think that we should get together and see if we can get that done. I think that'd be fantastic. Okay. All right. Excellent. Okay, do that. And it sounds like a good idea. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, the more the better. And I want to get, so, okay. I would like to get you on with Wayne Smith. And another Vietnam veteran. I'd like to do the, because this year, I think September, there's going to be an anniversary for Vietnam vets that were at Utapau. They'll be at the museum. So I don't know if you'd be interested or not. But I'm just going to have him on the program, and I'm going to see if we could make some kind of arrangement. So I got to get the exact date. I think it's September 5th. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm friends with his wife, so I can make that happen. Yeah, it would be awesome. That Wayne is, oh my gosh, he is a humble guy. And he's like, are you mad? No, he's not mad about it. You know, he spent all those years in Northern Hill, 5 years, I believe, and he's not angry. He lived with it, and he bounced off, and look at him today. It's amazing. He's one of those guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You said something that I tell people all the time. These guys, I try to encourage people. You're going to regret getting out at a certain point just because you want to get out. You got to realize, and that's why they get out and they come back to the guard because they miss it. But there's a lot of people, I mean, you have a short career. It's 20 years retirement, especially in the Air Force. You know, it's not as much stress, but 20 years, you got a full retirement, and then you can decide where to go and get to school. You got free school, free college. I went to college for free. I never paid for college. I went to Ohio State, and then I went to Wright State. I didn't spend a dime on it because of my benefits. So there's a lot of opportunities that people don't use. And I think education would be something you got to sit down and you got to just do it. You got to take your classes. And I encourage everybody to do that. And it opens up a lot more doors. If you want a job, like let's say on the base, you have to have a degree to be something. So this is very important. I always tell people, get your education, get your schooling done. And I think that's something that's, it's there for them. Not everybody takes advantage of it. Not that it means anything. Your experience alone can get you a job, a good job. But just the added dimension, and you see things a little differently. Not just, you know, the tunnel of the military, you see other things. And you progress, and you get officer, you know, position as well. And there's a lot of advantages. So, and very few people take advantage of that. So your thoughts on that? Your son, F-15 guy. Yeah, I love the F-15. Yeah, I've been around those many times. So, yeah, he translated his job into the next career. I think that's fantastic. That's knowledge. I'll tell you what, those mechanics, the military mechanics, when they go civilian, are better mechanics. So your best people, more dedicated than the rest. So I'm very proud of them. Good. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is, I love it, because I used to work for an airline myself, and I couldn't get away from aircraft. That's the whole thing. Once you get fit, then you have it for life. So that's awesome. So I'm not going to take up too much of your time here, sir, and I appreciate you coming on. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Yes, yes. Oh, wow. Okay. What's the date again? September 9th. Great. I got it. Yeah. Sure, yeah. It's not that far. It's close. Yes. That's awesome. Okay, well, yeah, that's so nice. I got it on my calendar now. So, and yes, I think it's a great thing. And I appreciate you coming on tonight. And I'm going to post your links up and everything, and I'm going to send you this video later, or probably tomorrow. So thank you very much, sir. It's great having you on. Enjoy the rest of your evening in Indiana. By the way, go Utah, right? I saw that. Yeah. That's awesome. Wow. I didn't know that was happening. Wow. They've got a long history of wins and long throws. Seeing them. Well, thanks for that information. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you. You too. So that was Mr. Solomon, you know, great veteran guy, veteran advocate. Appreciate having him on. And I remember his website. Contact, if you want to come over to the Journey Home event in Union City, Indiana, think about it. Hospital link up. And thank you for watching. Everybody have a good night. And broadcast. Okay. Oh, no, I'm off now anyway. That was really weird. Anyway, I'll contact you on some things that, because I like to bring this, I like to talk to the colonel? Is that what he is? Your friend? Okay. Okay. Good. Good. He's an officer. Okay. You can't wait. Okay. Your nephew. Okay. Here's the thing. I was on that Afghanistan program when that happened. So we have a lot to talk about. Yes. Okay. Wow. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow. 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 Yeah, yeah, that'd be very scary. Wow. Yeah, right. Right, yeah. Yeah, so, okay, yeah, I want to talk to you because I, like I said, I was on that program, so Afghanistan, when it fell apart, at Kabul. No, I was working on that at Wright Patterson. Yeah, so before that happened, the week before that happened, the military people left. Everybody left overnight. We were like, what in the world's going on? They just disappeared. Then the contractors left a little early. Then the second contractors, Textron, they left like 2 days before it happened. Because they were calling the other guys, well, what do you guys even mean? You know, then it got real after that. So then the pilots, the Afghan pilots, put their families in these planes, and they flew away to another country. They totally abandoned their country. They didn't fight. So one of them crashed into a mountain, killing everybody. And then the other ones stayed there, and they became prisoners for several months. For their release. I think Tajikistan was one of them. I can't remember the other two. But yeah, we were there. We watched, we saw the whole thing happening, and we're like, because nothing went according to plan. That was not the plan. So yeah, and he knows that. So he's the military guy, people that came in after everybody, all the military came out. So they had 2,500, I believe. They should. Why did they take them out? Anyway, that's another story. Yeah. Yes. Awesome. Wow. Whoa. That's. What? Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. That's unreal. Yeah, that's incredible. Okay. So he knew some of the fight. Okay. So these are the guys that came in. They should have just left the force there that was there already. They left like 2 or 3 of them. Yeah. So yeah, let him know that I was on that Air Force program. We were running the C208 program, Patterson. We were giving everything they needed, C208 Cessnas. Just to make things clear, over in Afghanistan, there were no modern weapons. There were no modern aircraft. They're all like prop jobs. There's not a jet in the entire country. So, and then all the equipment we left behind, we don't even use for our military. Maybe the guns, but then everything else is broke. Helicopters were broke. The C-130s, they had 3 of them, were broke, hard broke. It was because they could barely read or write. So they were doing things like memory. So that it was never going to be successful, no matter what we did. We kind of knew it was going to happen because it's a tribal thing where you could be a general and then some guy comes in, a young airman, and he's in a better tribe than you, and he tells you what to do. So it's just chaos. So that was the problems they had there. Some of the people, like mechanics, if they wore, somebody found out they were military guys, they'd assassinate them. Their own people would assassinate them off base. So we've had that happen to some of our people, our partners over there. So there's so many things that were never going to work. But at the same time, there was a better way to do this. So and I feel bad because we were Jesus for those guys, all the mechanics, but they never got out. And we wrote Jesus for them. We were doing paperwork to get those guys out. But they have Biden gave them all the addresses and the names on the list that we had. So that was the problem. So they're probably all dead. They've probably been dead for a long time, unfortunately. They had families and everything. We had all their children, everything. We were trying to get them out of there. But it didn't work out because they're supposed to only take, they're supposed to leave the city to us. Biden chose the airport only. So people in the city couldn't get to the airport. So they had all that. So this is the problem. So this is the logistics weren't there, and they had no choice. They had no chance. Once they set that up, everything was ready to go by, was it May? May 15th, I believe, somewhere. May 5th, I can't remember. That was when everybody was supposed to be out, but they took so long trying to get everything together. And at the last minute, like, oh, we got to overtake care of this. Like Austin didn't know what's going on. So we saw all this. So next thing, Austin said, it's too late now. It's too late. They should have looked at this because we were waiting for that to happen because we were going to do the transfer over, and we had another mission was going to continue in a different way without us there, and it ended up being a disaster. This was never planned this way. This was totally bought, and now they're talking about going after Biden for how we did this. So, yeah. So, and his. Secretary of Defense and whoever the other guy, squirrely guy is. Now they're having hearings now about this. So, and when you work with these people and they're dead now, and you communicate with them. So this is really sad for me. I was mourning over this. We all were, you know, because it didn't have to be this way. So yeah, it was pretty sad. But I'm off that program. I moved to KC-46, the tanker. And right now, I'm with the Presidential Aircraft, Air Force One, on that program. I just started on that last week. Isn't that cool? No, I'm just on the program where we give them whatever they need for that aircraft, you know, for logistics. That's what I do now. So I'm... Well, it doesn't go in there that much. It does occasionally. I know the NOACs, the different ones, they look like Air Force One. There's three of those. They call them the Doomsday aircraft, but you'll see them flying in the sky. People mistake it for Air Force One. Air Force One will go wherever it has to go for the president, but there's no guarantee that we'll see it. I haven't seen it there yet, maybe once. I remember years ago, but you can tell because the engines are blue on the, I think the bottom, there's different colors on it. But anyway, I have not seen it yet, but, you know, it'll be part of my job, so we'll make site visits and everything. But I was like, yes. Yeah, because my military training with wire bundles and harnesses and electrical stuff, that's how I got the job. So, but anyway, man, you knocked it out of the park. I learned a lot on that. A lot of people need to know about this. Well, I'll see you on the 9th. Yeah. Because you can't get that off the base. Right, yeah. That's the whole point of the fundraiser, right? Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you. And, I'll make sure that's on my calendar. And if it's a beautiful day, it's great. Yeah, like I said, it's not that far at all. So, you can go to the chaplain, you can go visit people, that office, and, you know, retirement. You can so many different ways. This is a huge deal. It's very important to the Air Force that we have these things. They actually have, like, classes and training on this very subject because of the issues they have. No. No, that must be something new. I've never heard of it. Okay. Okay. Maybe. Well, they're all gone. They're all gone now. Yeah. You know, that's the military. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's I'm not saying the buildings are better now. I'm just saying there's more people working there than ever before. They're adding more people and more programs. So it's growing pretty fast. We do have food trucks outside every day in the summertime. Yeah, which is kind of nice because you don't have to go off base to get food. So it's all good. But yeah, if you're talking about have a tour, come on, let me know. Oh, that would be like almost impossible. I did. It's hard. So you saw me, like, it's very hard to manage that and talk at the same time, multitask. But yeah, this is going to play. More people are going to look at it. And my last show, I think we're up to 200. Use plus the radio. The radio is a big deal. So, and we got, and I, it's, I have to look at the stats. So this radio program goes to Netherlands, Philippines, Europe, parts mostly U.S. Sometimes Mexico. We get listeners down there. So this is good for everybody. And yeah, I can give you this video, as a matter of fact, even with the little glitch in the middle. So I can send that to you. I appreciate it. You have a nice evening, sir. All right. Bye. Okay, let's stop this.